chapter 6, and I hope it will be short. Do I need to say this is our brother, Mr. Frank Knox?
And beginning to read at 43 will serve my purpose. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. Chapter 5, please. And 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother, let me read that again. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with a brother, without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, better or vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, is in danger of hell or fire. Therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembereth thy brother that art against thee, leave therefore thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first. Go thy way first, and be reconciled to the brother, then come and offer the gift. 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, again I'll serve our purpose. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive in the name shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. You notice, if you haven't been asleep, that I emphasize the word first in each one of these three verses. I'm going to say a little before them, and if I had a lot to say, I wouldn't have time to say it anyway. First thing I want to say to the young people, God bless you, the devil's after you night and day. Seek first the kingdom of God. And you don't miss it. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put that before everything else, no matter what, that's beneath. A friend, a fortune. No matter what it is, how great it is, how grand it is, reject it, seek first the kingdom of God. How many stories we could tell you, having seen from experience what people made this dreadful mistake. And on the deathbed, the world when it was too late. It's too late now, Mr. Knox, I've left it too late. And fool the heart, your man, mind your soul, the devil's after you. Maybe after you by the way of a sweetheart. Maybe after you by the way of fortune. Maybe after you by some other thing like that. That's the thing, go and go to the devil. Sweet heart. The kingdom of God. Who would dare to say that all in the meeting tonight's going to be in heaven? I'm not your judge, and I'm not going to be, but I'm warning you faithfully, not only from the Bible, but the things that I've seen repeatedly in our beloved Northern Ireland. When it's too late, they can't listen to what you say. Remember one dear man in particular, and he attended the meetings every night for 10 weeks, at a place where most of my brethren behind me know very well, off away. All the family were saved with this dear man. He prayed it every night, and we prayed for him, we all prayed for him. And he listened well, he had a reverence for the gospel. And if you haven't, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I went away to preach in another place. And I got a message, come quickly, Jim so-and-so is dying. Well, I had no car. I hired one. I went right through the country about 40 miles, and I got to hear a man. When I went to the house here, here is a woman lying sick. When I got into the middle of the house, here's a man and a doctor working together. And she said, that's your man in there, and I went in, and I'll never forget it. Let me again put it first. Put your soul first, and let the rest go to the devil. No great about that. There he is in the corner. Poor soul, I'll never forget him. Decent, respectable, Protestant, loves the Bible, and has enough common sense for to believe the Bible, to believe the gospel, and to believe them saved. Talked to him for a little while. And I said, now, mister, I have to leave you a long way to go to a meeting. What about your soul? And the old withered hand went up. Too late now, Mr. Knox. What makes you say so? Says he, about 14 years ago, down the road at the crossroads, two men were preaching the gospel. God was saving people. I was anxious, but I put it off. One night after the meeting was over, there was some Christian standing outside. Mind your conversation after the meeting's over. Dabbling and talking and putting anxiety out of people. It's very happened. And he said, as I stood there, a neighbor come along and he said, come on, Jim, come on with me. And said he, I left. And I went home with the neighbor to our own house. And from that day until now, I never had the thought about God's salvation. And do this. And I'm as good as can. Don't you think you can play tricks on the living God your way and do some people? Well, you can't do it. He'll have the best of it in the end. I want to preach to young men, for I used to be one a long time ago. Never heard the gospel till I was 20 years of age. And when I learned from an old man that was preaching with tears in his eyes, would to God we had more of them, and love in his heart. And he looked at me after reading John 3, and I said, "Young man, you're condemned already, and if you die on the street, you'll be in hell." That's 50 years ago, and I never forgot it, and I never will. Brethren, beloved in Christ, our preaching is not what it used to be. When I got saved 65 years ago, preaching is not the same. I'm not going to suggest why. I leave you to guess that. But I'll preach that without any hesitation. Now, preaching is not the same. Now then, you put the kingdom of God first. And it's quite possible, I hope it won't be so, but you'll not be long until you go into God's eternity and you'll go back to the Easter conference. You remember the crowd of faces of sinners saved by the grace of God. You remember that. Because you heard the preacher, heard the living God's voice. The preacher preached to you. And you were anxious to be saved. And you thought you were just saved. Ah, but you didn't know that the devil was outside waiting on you. Maybe the sweetheart. We take liberties that we shouldn't take. I'm warning you, dear young men and young women, seek first. Seek first. Seek first. No matter what you intend to think about, as you sit here tonight, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that are necessary shall be added unto you. Try to get that off my mind for the good end. Well then, the next thing I have in chapter 5. Something against between me and the brother, not that I know. If you know, then let me know. And I want to be reconciled to my brother. Say, and with all the piety of the Pope, I'm going to offer a sacrifice to the living God, the living God, to speak first. Put things right with your brother first. And please, put things right with your sister first. Then, come in for your altar, and I'll not take your offering. You do that. We know who have sympathies all the Bible. Son who tried to live it and preach it. There's a danger of taking a liberty and thinking that people know it all. And I'll tell you what I know about it. That the devil will have you, they can get you. One way or another. But the soul salvation first. I only told you one story, I could tell you many. I haven't time. Now then, you can go into the morning meeting as pious as you please. With a big Bible. Hang your head in the air. And somebody would think to look at you that you were God only knows what. Ah, but there's a good there. There's a good there. And you can't twist the flesh with us there. I defy you to do it. God will not take it of you. Oh, good man, yes, we'll grant you that. Good woman, yes, we'll grant you that. We met some woman like you out in Toronto. So there's a good there. You know what a judge is like, brother? Such a nice man's explanation of it. It's like a mouse eating cheese. All right. And it gnaws at you and keeps on gnawing at you. You can't read your Bible. You know you can't. There's a judge there. You can't pray. You know you can't. What's in there's a judge there? It's a curse no matter where you meet it. And sometimes you can settle it in a minute. I've been in quite a lot of them, and the mercy of God, I got out again. I don't mean to say I got into them, but I went to help them. Well, I met them in Belfast, that's not far away. I've lived in it now for 60 years. I did a bit of a test after a Sunday school meeting, something like what schoolboys would have. There was really nothing in it. When one man got up and walked out, and anybody can do that. Man, there's a lot of, you know, we have a big lot of common sense. We keep these things in our minds that this is a matter for God, and between God and me, it'll make us careful what we say, where we go, what we do. Then all went out. I said, where are you going, brother? They were going home. So we went up the road, and a few of them went the same way as me, and we stopped at a corner for the usual gossip. One man said to me, Frank, you're not happy. He said, I know, brother, and I'm not happy. And I'm not going to bed. Well, you've offended your brother. And he has to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to his work. And you'll go home and sleep. And he'll go home and he'll lie awake. What do you want to do? Come and leave, please. 3 minutes, it was in the house. And out the door, the man comes down in pajamas. And as soon as he opened the door, he said, Frank, I'm glad to see you. Man, I was thankful to God that night. And I said, brother, come in. He wants to see you. They come in. So I've looked at one another for a while. So he was going to speak first. He said, oh, you fine. Very good. Brethren, we have grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And it's a little better than hypocrisy to go home tonight and try to pray and go to bed to sleep when you know you've offended your brother and hurt his conscience and he can't sleep. How is it with you? How is it with you? A judge, I tell you, is the thing that will shut the life out of you. And you can't pray. And you can't read. And you don't know where to read. And you talk your Bible over you, you're nothing. Yeah, it's a judge that's there. It's a judge that's there. And nobody can shift that judge only yourself. God, take the sleep from you tonight. If you have a judge against a brother or a sister, and get rid of it before you go to bed. And then go to bed and sleep. And I said, God bless you. Well, that's too first. You know, we're all familiar. Aye, too familiar with it. The Lord said, the same time of all, it shall come and first. Dead in Christ shall I first. Right, that's when the Lord comes. The dead in Christ will rise first. Our brother Beatty, he's sitting beside me here, and was speaking an old woman in Omar. She was dying. And Bob was sympathizing with her, you know. And the old woman got tired and she said, I see him first. For the dead in Christ will rise first. We're all going to see him. But the dead one rise will see him first. And we're told, I have encountered, and I'm not dogmatizing it, that there's a reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus 300 times in the Bible, there may be, there may not, but 3 times will do me just as well as 300. If it's in the Bible, I believe it. If you don't, you shouldn't be in God's assembly. Lord, into dead and flesh arise for. Let's happen tonight. Let's happen before we get down off the platform. Aye, well, you're preaching about it. What about the judge? I know of none. If you know of any that you think I have, please let me know before you go. And I promise you to put it right before I sleep. First of all, it robs me of the joy of God's salvation. No doubt about that. Except you're desperately hard-hearted. That judge will call it. That's a very good right. No matter whether it's little or whether it's big, it's a judge. It cuts the spirituality out of you. And repeat again, you get down to say you can't pray. You can't pray. I've seen me getting up on my knees many and many and many a time. And leaving a praying alone for a while. Couldn't get up. Don't know why. Couldn't tell why. Never found out, but I couldn't get up. But there's little use on your knees or on your face talking to the Lord if you're not getting a bit of help. You're not getting any prayer. Again, when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the dead in Christ shall rise first. I read these three scriptures in a morning meeting not long ago in Belfast. And I've been thinking of them ever since, only about 2 weeks. I've been thinking about them ever since, and the more I thought about them, the more it struck me. And I'm thankful to God when I hear God's voice from the Bible. Showing me my hypocrisy, perhaps. Or what a priest can never practice. Well, that's hypocrisy. Then you hurry to get to the Lord and get the thing put right. And get his smile and tell him with all your heart. Pray again. Hannah prayed again. Lydell prayed again. Hannah prayed for Israel. Joshua prayed on his faith. David went in and sat before the Lord. Elijah prayed again. And Stephen, a most godly man, that servant of the giver, and there's lots of them living yet in Belfast. Stoned them to death, but stoned them right into heaven. He went to heaven on his knees. I finished. Get these three first. Put them in the back of your head. He first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And don't be wailing on your deathbed and breaking the heart of your mother. I'm too late now. Hold me. I'm sinking. One old man said to me, and he did sink. Bone sleep. So man, young woman, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Then, leave there your gift, leave there your offering. Go and reconcile to your brother or sister, then come and offer the gift. I'm glad you got that off your mind. I hope God will bless it to you all.
Shall we pray? O God our Father, who down from heaven upon us in the grace of thy heart, how much we need thee only thyself knows. We bless thy holy name again, as we have done thousands of times before, for the grace that cast us out of hell in our unsaved days. We thank thee for revealing Christ to us as our Savior, and we thank thee for the definite, permanent, radical change that made in our lives. We are thankful to hear all these reports from our dear brethren for whom we have prayed regularly while they were preaching, though they may not have known that. Let the good hand of God be upon us. Oh, why are we not more thankful than what we are, that we're outside of hell and on the road to heaven? Make us all that are Christians than ever we have been before, that are preachers, that are laborers, that are prayers, that are fathers and mothers, that are neighbors in the streets where we live, and that are members of God's assembly. Be within the grace that I have. There's just enough time left for the spoil of conscience.